Well, our next speaker today is Nancy Brill. She's a PhD candidate at NC State. She recently, last spring, wrote an article in the American Entomologist about being a mom and a graduate student. So she's an expert on this subject, and we're really happy to have her talk about student motherhood and women leaders in entomology, lessons learned in graduate school survival.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak to you guys today at this point in my life as a graduate student with children, and hopefully some of the lessons I've learned, you can take something from that. I just want to point out this cartoon because I think it's really funny. I don't know if you can read it. It says, it's a woman speaking to a man. She's saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I still got my raising kids head on. Let me just switch to my working head." And if you're a mom in the sciences and you have kids, you probably can totally relate to that. Switching from that work-home environment and it's constantly going on in your brain, yeah, you know what that's like. So before I begin, I just want to talk a little bit about my life cycle so you know where I'm coming from. And you're wondering why this young woman, you know, what kind of advice can she give to me? Well, I started with my bachelor's in ecology in 2000. And then after that, I didn't go on right for my master's degree. I went and worked for 2 years at a farm in my town, which greatly influenced my attraction into agriculture. And after a while, I realized I couldn't keep making $7 an hour, so I went to continue my education and pursue my master's degree at NC State as well from 2002 to 2005. And at the end of that, I became pregnant with my first daughter, finishing up my field work and writing my thesis. And after that, I decided I wanted to work. So I ended up working for 4 years, first as a substitute teacher, and the main reason for that was I was holding out for a job to be near my mom because I was going to need help with babysitting. And substitute teaching gave me a great opportunity to teach and have a flexible schedule and kind of work part-time while taking care of my baby. So after that, I went on and became a research technician for 3 years at Rutgers. I was finally able to land a great opportunity working there. And during that time, I had my second daughter in 2008. Unfortunately, around the end of that time, we were facing, as a lot of people have, an economic downturn. People were afraid of losing their job, and my boss advised me, you know, to probably look for something else. As a research technician, my position wasn't very stable, so I decided to go back to school. I felt ready. I wanted to climb the ladder, just like many women do. So in 2009, I began my PhD program at NC State in entomology. I really didn't think twice about could I handle it. Oh, I have two kids, you know, I was, they're young, and I just went for it. And I think the reason I could was because a lot of what I'll talk to you about today and some of the books I've read on self-improvement and self-awareness really helped equip me to be ready for this. And I don't think I could have done this if I wasn't prepared in that way. This time around, I had my own field helper. She was 4 when we started, and she loves to come with me in the field when appropriate, of course. So, and my youngest was 6 months when I started. So I quickly became aware that I was very much a non-traditional student. Going back to school with 2 young kids, like I said, they were 6 months and 4 when I started. For most of that time, I ended up becoming a single mom as well. So I had many different kinds of challenges as well. So I became aware of these challenges as a mother in the sciences, in entomology, even in my own department. There were only 3 other women faculty members in the department. None of them have children. And because of that, as mentioned in the introduction, I wrote an article that you may have read about my perspective on that. So I'm not going to go into how I manage my time and some of the other challenges I faced, like I said, because you can read about that or ask me later. What I wanted to talk more about was how women can equip themselves along the way, and if you ever come into that situation, how to handle it. So today, why are we focusing on this topic of women, or now mothers, in entomology? And I wrote in my article, and as many women have pointed out today already, currently half of the graduate students in the U.S. are female. And as has also already been pointed out, there's no shortage of female scientists obtaining their PhD. However, in academia, there's a shortage of female faculty members with children. It's only 16%, according to the National Science Foundation. And not only that, but according to the U.S. Department of Education, female enrollment in graduate school is going to continue to surpass male enrollment in the near future. So it's not going to end. It's going to continue. So it's important to be prepared and equip ourselves. So the question becomes, who are going to be these women, the upcoming women, their role models? And who was my role model? I didn't really have a role model. And the answer is, it's us, whether you're a woman in the audience or a man. You're going to have women in your lab. You know, how are you going to handle the challenges that these women will face along the way? So the question that comes up a lot of times is, can we have it all? Can we do this? Can we have a career in the sciences, a PhD in entomology? Can we have children along the way? And one of my favorite quotes by Henry Ford is, whether you think you can or can't, you're right. I'm like a quote person. I have a quote bank in my head. And so I sometimes retrieve these quotes once in a while to just remind myself of some of the things I've learned. And so I think a lot of times it comes down to personal choice. If you're going to answer that question, that's a personal choice question. What is it that you want? And start with that. However, I sometimes wonder, is it really a personal choice, or is it that in the sciences it's not always set up to allow for that situation for women to be able to handle this balancing work life, specifically in academia, if you're going to have children? And I'll probably hopefully touch on that a little bit later too. So talking about this personal choice question made me think of this movie. Anybody see this movie, Baby Boom, 1987? I absolutely love this movie. It's about this woman. She's a high-powered corporate woman in New York City, and she's up there working alongside with men and doing really great. She's very successful, and then the baby gets dropped off on her doorstep, and she falls in love with this baby in this role of parenting and realizes that she can't handle it all in this workforce, so she quits, and she leaves, and she goes to the country, and she works on a farm, or she lives on a farm, and she has these apple trees there, so she started making her own applesauce, and because she had a marketing background, she made her own product. So long story short, she became very wealthy and very successful. So my perspective on this is, going back to, what is it that you want? Just plow your way through it, and I think if you figure out a way that works for you, you can be very successful. So there are happy endings. So if we want to choose, if we choose to have it all, this graduate degree, career, and children, how do we equip ourselves along the way to deal with the challenges that we might have with colleagues, both men and women? Sometimes we have to remember not to be our own roadblock along the way as women, and I'll talk more about that later on too. How to deal with stress, the workload, and the pressure. So I just quickly want to define what it is a leader, because there's a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people think it has to do with your title, you know, are you department head, or it might have to do with your position. And hopefully students won't be thinking, well, I'm just a student, how could I be a leader? Some people think that it has to do with your salary, or that you have to be born a leader. You hear that all the time. Oh, that person, they were born that way, you know, they're an extrovert, so of course they're naturally a leader. And the reality is that none of that's true. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to have any of that to be a leader. A leader is really influenced, as defined by John C. Maxwell in 1998. He's a really good author, kind of a well-known expert on leadership, and he has many books out there, some of which I read, on leadership and the qualities of a leader. And so he's a really good source if you want to learn more about this topic. So the first step, I think, in learning about leadership and how to influence others, if you're going to take this step along the way, this career path with children, and is to, like scientists, like we all do when we start a project, is to do our literature search, right? So for me, I think a lot of successful leadership and ways to deal with stress actually starts from within. And because really, how are we going to influence other people if we don't know ourselves very well and how we deal with stress? And one of the books that I started with was by Shad Helmstetter, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, because we all have this little voice inside. And I think if it were a negative voice saying, oh, I can't do this, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know, oh, this is so hard, that can really affect you because as the author points out, what we think we become, and that means what we think will eventually be our actions. So, you have to equip yourself to change that way of thinking and to stay positive through the whole way. I don't think like I said before, I don't think I would have been able to do it if I had those negative thoughts. Oh, I can't do this. There's nobody here. I don't want any support. So you have to. It's just a really good book to help you become aware of that voice in your head. Another tool is the Myers-Briggs personality test. I recently went to a professional development workshop offered it by the graduate school at NC State, and we were able to take that. I'm an introvert, and this is a test that will define your personality in four categories, and I think it's really useful because it helps you define yourself, helps you to define the people around you, and to realize that there's going to be differences, and then hopefully by realizing that to avoid conflicts, because everybody's going to have a different approach to handling their workload, their research, and their the ways of dealing with people. Another useful tool is to understand emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is about awareness. It's about being aware of how you handle other people and how you can handle other people's emotions as well. And a good study was done in Turnus in 2000 that defined that a person's success in life is less likely related to their IQ and more related to their level of emotional intelligence. So it just shows how important that factor is in being successful as a woman in the sciences. So then after looking at the literature, I wanted to, and looking from within, learn about more leadership techniques. Okay, so how do you do this? How do you influence people? And like I mentioned before, John C. Maxwell he's a really good author on this subject. Another really good author is Steve Seibold on 177 Mental Toughness Secrets of the World Class. The word leader is not in the title of that book, but I think it was a really helpful book for me. It's short. It's basically one secret on just one page, so it's a really quick read. The world class are defined as some of the most successful people. Most of the time it's equated to financial success, which it doesn't have to be. That's not my goal in life, is to be extremely wealthy or anything, but I think it just points out some of the ways that really, really successful people think a lot differently. It's a different mental process. And so I think it's a quick, easy read and hopefully very enlightening. So then I went on to look at more leadership techniques for women. And these two books that I'm going to mention talk about, quote-unquote, becoming a winning woman. The first book is Nice Girls Just Don't Get It, 99 Ways to Win the Respect You Deserve, the Success You've Earned, and the Life You Want. And the second book, Thaler and Cobell, is The Power of Nice. So right away you're thinking, okay, one book tells you not to be too nice, and the other book's telling you to be really nice in order to be successful. So what's going on? Successful. So I think the point of the first book, and they do say this, that you don't want to be too nice to get walked on, and you don't want to be too wimpy, but you can also be assertive at the same time. And the second one is just saying, if you're nice without being wimpy, it really can take you very far. And like my last bullet says, that it's important to remember to try and become an effective leader as a woman without being labeled the B word. I don't want to say it because I want to keep it censored. It rhymes with itch. A lot of times women are labeled that way if you're going to come off too aggressive. And I think it's really important to avoid that attitude or that type of personality. The point is, you don't have to be overly aggressive to get what you want as a woman in the sciences and to prove ourselves constantly. And I think these two books are really good examples of how to do that without painting that picture of ourselves. So, okay, so then how do you put these leadership practices into leadership techniques into practice? And as an entomologist, there's plenty of opportunities. First of all, parenting, you may not realize it is equipping you to become a leader, how to deal with stress, you know, crying baby, temper tantrums, managing your time. Those are all part of the equation for developing emotional intelligence, and that can then help you in becoming, help you become more equipped to deal with it in your in the workforce. As a graduate student, I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of times students might think, well, how am I going to be a leader? I'm on the bottom of the ladder. Well, we are we're the leader of our own research project. And organizations such as ESA can get involved, extension opportunities if you're in an extension-related field of study, community outreach programs. There's so many ways. I've done insect demonstrations to my kids, preschool and kindergarten, first grade, and I love that for themselves and for their other students. They love to show off, I think, their mom in the sciences. And as well as teaching, unfortunately, I didn't have to teach in order to make any requirements to be a graduate student in my program. In hindsight, I wish I would. I think for me the limiting factor was finances, because if I was to be a TA, I would have had to pay for more babysitting during the week, and I wasn't able to do that, although I would have loved the opportunity. Or you can create your own program, which is what I did for our department. Our graduate school, we have leadership opportunities out there. We get emails all the time for leadership seminars and things like that. But I think it needs to come down to a lower level. I think not just the graduate school needs to offer it, but our department, and then maybe even our own lab, if faculty members could offer something or do something for students. It would be important to have that, because I think a lot of students would pass up those opportunities when it's not close to them, meaning they might not have time to go to a seminar. They might think, well, this is just the graduate school. It's not going to be as influential, I think, if it was at the departmental level. So anyway, I felt a need to do something and create a program for the women. So last April, I did, and about 14 women attended the Jim Wall, now it's called the Jim Wall, Challenge Course at North Carolina State University last April, and the main goal was team building and leadership development. This is us lined up standing on a log, and that was for one of the exercises that we did. So it was a full day, it was outside, and the purpose of the first half of the day was team building. So you can see we're trying to figure out how to make these limited number of sticks into a cube, and we were first separated to separate four different groups, I think, and in the end we realized we all had to work together to make this cube. So the point was, you know, we have to work together, which parallels what we know in science. We're never going to be working alone. So it was a great opportunity to get to know one another. We did a lot of different games, and it was just really fun, these different exercises where, for example, we had to hold hands and work together to make it across this rope without falling off. So it could be a little bit physically challenging as well. And we had to pass one another through these ropes without touching them, and we'll all work together again and do the trusting exercise. You may have heard of this before, where we had to fall into somebody's arms and realize that we're going to be okay because, you know, we put our trust in these people. And again, all these lessons that we're learning can be learned in the real world too, in the sciences. So we're smiling, we're having fun, and then we get to the high ropes course. And this was only 35 feet up in the air, but it was really intimidating. And we all had helmets and we all had our safety harnesses on. We knew we weren't going to fall, but it was still really challenging. And I'll admit, I even skipped some of these techniques that we could do, such as this. She was really brave enough to go on here and leap across ropes less than an inch thick. And the point was, we had our safety harnesses and our helmets on and facilitators all around to help us if we fell. But I that, you know, we weren't going to fall and really hurt ourselves. So I think it's important to remember that if we fall along the way, we'll still be okay. And it's important to take risks and just learn to trust ourselves and to trust the people that we work with. So I made these t-shirts saying, "We weren't born this way, baby. We were made this way by the Leadership Challenge course at MTSU," because if you know Lady Gaga's song, she says, "I was born this way," but my point is you don't have to be born this way to be a leader. Oops. So in conclusion, there is this need for leadership. Since we can't change others around us, we all know that life lesson. We can't change others around us, so what do? Well, we equip ourselves. So we can equip ourselves through leadership training to be these women that are doing it all, so to speak. And it's not just for women, it's for men too, I think. So I often get asked this question, how do you do it? And lo and behold, the movie came out this past fall that you may have seen with Sarah Jessica Parker. And I really like this movie because there's, even though she's not in the sciences, but there's a lot of parallels and things I could relate to. So I think I felt like I could be that person. And I'm sure many of you could probably put your picture up there as well. So thank you. And if you have any questions, I'll have to wait for the panel discussion, I guess.